Good evening. It's Rabbi Mayevsky back in New York. Good evening. I entitled the shiur tonight, Crossroads. And we all come to major crossroads in our lives. Sometimes we don't think about it, but if we analyze our lives, we see we make decisions when we get to certain crossroads. Last week, unfortunately, we see that Aaron and his sons, they came to a crossroads. And it's very appropriate for this time of year because today was Rosh Chodesh. It's also the yahrzeit of Nadav and Avihu, which is not the topic tonight, but nevertheless, it was their yahrzeit, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Imagine on Rosh Chodesh to have this happen to Aaron. And obviously, Nadav and Avihu came to a crossroads here, and they unfortunately did not pay attention that this was a make and break time for them. And they made the wrong decision at this time to go ahead, however we want to blame or the cause and effect of what they did, but they came to a crossroads. And now we come to the parsha of Tazria this week. And the parsha starts off, Ishoki Sazria. And we know that it's very obvious when a woman gives birth to a child, when a husband and wife bring life into this world, they understand that at that point as well, it's a crossroads for the family because they have to make a decision on how that child will be brought up, even if they don't think so. The Gemara, of course, tells us that even when we name the child, every man has that moment, whether it's discussed in the family, but naming the child, it mentions in Gemara Brachos, is one time in everyone's life that he receives some level of nevuah by giving the child that name. And sometimes that could give us insight into the crossroads, what we hope for the child to emulate the person we name him after, or whatever that might come from it. I remember very distinctly thinking in my life in particular that the first thought I had, not shouldn't say the first thought, but one of the thoughts I had when my first child was born, how he would be raised was very simple to me in terms of I kept thinking that I remember many times when I would sit down to learn with my father or I would come to him with a problem in the Gemara because he was a Rebbe and I would ask him to explain a piece of Gemara to me and he would look at it and he'd say, you're going to have to give me a half hour to prepare because I didn't look at this piece of Gemara maybe in 20 years. And that moment, I thought about it when I had my first child, and I said, this is not going to happen to me, and not to be raped in any way, but I kept thinking that I didn't want this to happen to me. I wanted to be able to discuss it on the spot. And that's when I began the first time in 1974 with my Daf Yomi, I remember. And that's when I began. And of course, it served me well, setting up, you know, Kaveh Itim LaTorah, so to speak. And the Rebbe in the shul, when he said to me, he didn't see me in the Beis Medrash at night, and he said, okay, you know, I see you daven here a few months, and I don't see you in the Beis Medrash at night. I have a chavrusa for you. And so I rather did it in the morning, rather. But it's just the idea that we come to all these crossroads. And in Isha Ki Sazria, we have that effect. But the fact is, we see at the beginning when it says Isha Ki Sazria V'yolda Zachar, and we have the difference between the days of the for in a cave or for a Zachar, which the Abarbanel goes into. We discussed it last year. If anybody remembers, we'll discuss it a different time. But the point is, she has to bring Olah and a Chatos. And what is the purpose of an Olah and a Chatos? It's very interesting because we know that a Chatos is always first. So, of course, the Mefarshim tell us that, as always, the Chatos always does come first, but just for the purpose of mentioning the importance of the Olah is always the more important carbon. So we mention the Olah first. But the Chatos. And the question is also, when we ask, the Gemara gets into, why should a woman have to bring a Chatos? What should she do wrong? And it says during the course of her labor, perhaps she made some shvuah, she made some promises that this was too difficult for her. She doesn't want to go through this again, and she promises not to have any more for things that she might have said. But of course, we know that many women obviously don't go through that process of swearing and making these promises. And even if they do, they're considered an oneis. So why should they have to bring a carbon chatos, in fact? And Rav Moshe Feinstein makes a very interesting point. And while, in fact, they are not really chayev to bring those karbonos, an ola, of course, we want to bring a thanks for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the baby was born, and the chatos, why should they actually have to bring the chatos, is that it's a preventative measure. It's a stopgap. Once again, that process is considered at the crossroads. We don't want anybody to think that they could get away with something. So it's just trying to nip it in the bud so we understand beforehand that should you do this, should you be overcome with that desire to make any kind of promise, even if you don't, that there is a stopgap here for that crossroads to stop things in its track. And what I wanted to do, because only this week and next week we can discuss the Haggadah in terms of what I have time for. But the interesting thing is that the same thing is when we have the Arba Bonim. The Arba Bonim is one of the most spoken about issues in the Chumash and in the Torah. And we have the four sons. And what I did was when I mentioned this week, I spent the Shabbos in Kansas City or in Overland Park, Kansas. And the people there, besides being overly friendly, and the crowds that were the people that we meet in shul, I was in two different shuls, and the people have a lot of questions. And the answer, the interesting thing is the questions that you get, you don't get the same questions everywhere. And there are people that have, especially ones who are not to say new to the faith, but some of them are Baal Tshuvas, some of them are Gerim, more so than in New York that you find out. But the fact is, they're very much in line with getting really involved in Yiddishkeit and showing up to davening three times a day, showing up to davening Shabbos at night and in the morning. And they come to daven, which is very nice to see because they really want to appreciate Yiddishkeit, Yiddish, and get into the Torah. But there are too many things that they don't understand. And when they ask questions, I find that a lot of people don't get the answers that they want, and they're looking for a deeper meaning in their life and to realize what Yiddishkeit is all about. And the Arba Bonim really teaches me something, and I had a thought. When we come to the Chacham, the interesting thing is that the Chacham, we say an answer that doesn't seem to have anything to do with the question. When he says, you know, tell me more about this. What is the all these things that we do, the halachas, and we answer him, Ein maftir achar pesach afi kolman. Obviously, the answer to that is that it is appropriate because if he's a chacham and he has been sitting in yeshiva and learning, he's learned a lot of the ins and outs. He understands the basic idea of all the yomim tovim. He's been learning, but perhaps he's not old enough to have gotten till the end of Pesachim, where the last Mishnah is Ein maftir achar pesach afi koman. Perhaps so we want to give him a little deeper insight. He's had the foundation. His parents have laid the groundwork. The yeshivas that he's gone to have laid the groundwork for him to move on further with his education. The Russia is on another level, and the Russia wants to, not so to speak, do away with it all, but he doesn't understand on some level. Sometimes he says, I'm a Jew and I believe in God and I believe in the Torah, but I don't understand what is the purpose that I have to do all this work. And of course, that's what the Torah, the difference between our religion and other religions is that, or other facets of our own religion, is that it is required for us to observe the 613 mitzvot that we do. It's not just to be like we call it, the term they use is a cardiac Jew. In their hearts, they're good Jewish. And that works in a lot of other religions. In Yiddishkeit, va'asisem osam, u'shmartem la'asos. You have to observe them, you have to actually do them. And that leaves me with the last one of the sons, besides the Tom, who is just You could talk to him, he accepts, but you want to talk on his level. But the point is that the She'eni Yodei Lishol, we always take it to mean that it's somebody who doesn't know how to ask. He is a young child. What I wanted to specify and change the thought process here, She'eni Yodei Lishol is somebody who accepts all of these things he's been told, and he knows all the laws. He could know, I shouldn't say all the laws, but he knows many of the laws. But what happens in yeshiva a lot of times is when boys ask a parent or boys ask a Rebbe sometimes, what is the reason I do something? Why I'd like to know more about this, or I have a problem in the Chumash, I have a problem in the Gemara, one of the laws make no sense to me, and I need to understand it better. And the Rebbe, or perhaps the parent, maybe shoots the child down and says, you can't ask that question, or there's not a good answer, just do it. Don't ask, just do what I tell you to do. And that doesn't work. And what happens eventually is sometimes that person becomes a She'eni Yodei Lishol. He accepts things, but he hears what goes on before him, and he doesn't know that he can ask. She'eno doesn't say She'eno Yochol Lishol, that he can't, that he doesn't know how to ask. He doesn't know that he may ask. And that's what it says, She'eno Deya Lishol. He doesn't know that it's perfectly fine when the Torah says, Kiyim She'al No, Liyamim Rishonim, Asher, when it says we should ask, when God encourages us to ask, to find the questions. So not everything has an answer. Even some answers maybe are not acceptable. But the fact is, one should never be ashamed to ask. There are so many questions that can be answered. There are questions, of course, that can't be. But that's what sitting at the Seder and discussing it. We have those four types of sons. The Rasha is very interesting when it says, leave a low, so for him, one can't talk to him. He has excluded himself, and therefore it doesn't say for you to try to discuss it with him. If he's a Russia, he will change you before you will change him. So you have to instill in yourself for the belief, don't let him change you. So you have to almost close your eyes and say, leave a low. I am being the one that's Mekayim. I accept it. I understand it. And this is the job, getting back to the parsha. That's why, in reality, the parshas really are appropriate for before Pesach, even though normally they come out after Pesach on a regular year. But the Kohen, somebody finds on his body he has a rash. He has what may be tzaras, and he's not sure what to do. And he calls the Kohen to ascertain to what his ailment is. Is it really tzaras, or perhaps he just has to go to his skin doctor, to his dermatologist, and get something to clear up the mess? The Kohen's job is basically to not only to ascertain the problem. The pasuk in the Torah says, "V'ro'ah haKohen es haNega." The Kohen's job is to look, focus only on the tzaras at that point, not on the person, because you don't want to look at it, and even if the Kohen thinks perhaps it is Saras, if he's going to say it, and as I've mentioned previously, the Kohen's job is to sit down with the person and discuss his failings, perhaps as a counselor, how he could better himself for this not to happen again. But the point is, he has to talk to him, Belashon Raka, it says. He has to speak to him softly. If the Kohen is going to make sure that this person be one of these is one of these people that has the ability to be a Chacham rather than a Rasha or a She'eni Yodei Lishol or a Tam, we want to put him in the right frame of mind. We don't want to ostracize him. We don't want to push him away. We want to focus, just look at the Nega itself, give him a week to think about it. Let him think about it. Perhaps it is, perhaps it's not. Maybe if he's a good enough person and will be a little bit introspective about what might have caused it, should it be when he's thinking in that week, I may have a serious problem with this being, if it is Saras, that God is trying to nip it in the bud before it gets any worse. That's what the Kohen's job is. Talk to him softly. Focus on the nega itself. Try to put the man's mind at ease and not to chase him away, not to put him into the field of becoming the Russia. You have to speak to him b'loshon raka. And that is the lashon of the Chazal that tell us about the Arba Bonim as well. We have to speak to them, but focus on the She'enu de'Elishol. Not that he's a little child, he could be 15 years old, but there are too many of us that are afraid to ask because they get shut down too many times in school by saying, Metunish Fregen, you're not allowed to ask these questions. There's nothing wrong with asking. For that, I always appreciated my father. There are crossroads. The Seder is a crossroad in raising a family. If we're sitting around the table with our family, if we're zochah to have children and guests sitting around the table, it can be a very, very momentous occasion to really have an open discussion with family. And this is what I get from this weekend that I had. I saw it so many times. Thank God I was able to have a father who was able to sit and discuss it with me. He never tried to push things away when I asked him a question. He had the ability, and he would always tell me he'll look it up. He'll ask somebody else if he didn't know. And these are very important things to do. Have that open discussion. Keep the lines of communication open. These are the reasons that the Seder is so important. And that's what we could focus on. And therefore, that's what we know when we get to Vehisha Amda and we say that, what is the Vehisha Amda? We know it's God, but Vehisha Amda, it is the Torah that stands for us. It gives us answers. We just have to look for it. We don't have to give up. I sat with people this weekend for a few hours discussing many points. People had some very good questions, and unfortunately, they weren't given some answers. Some I was able to help them with. Of course, not all of them. Not everything has an answer. I don't know all the answers. No humans do, unfortunately. But nevertheless, this is what the Seder is all about. We have the opportunity in yeshivas for the rebbes to have opened the lines of communication to keep the discussions alive, to keep it going. And mark it down. I do for myself. I have my own questions and I write them down and I do my own research. That's what it's time to do. The only thing I can't, God says, that is beyond human comprehension is creation itself. But anything from the time that Adam HaRishon was born is on the table. You may ask, and please do. Because the more you understand, we realize the more we could bring more people into the fold. That's what was really impressed. Living out of town is also a tremendous nisayon because you have, it's not as an insulated community, and it's very difficult to become insulated when there are so few yechidim. And the one rabbi mentioned to me something very interesting. What is the major part of when we eat the Korban Pesach, it says, Ki im tzliyesh, as opposed to in the other parts of the meal, we could eat a potato, it's cooked, or whatever we do, we eat cooked stuff because cooking you do inside and the product that we eat is soft. Tzliyesh is something that we eat outside that we roast outdoors. And what happens to the meat when we roast it outdoor? The meat becomes tougher, it's not quite as soft because. Out in the real world where we are exposed to the fires of outside, we are roasted. We have to maintain a thick skin and be a little harder to suffer the slings and arrows of the outside world. And this is what we're going through. But as long as we believe in the Torah, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov are the beginnings of our faith when it says, Miterach, what is the point of when it says in the Mitchila, and what is the point of bringing Terach into the discussion here is to tell us that not everything is in our control because what is the point of mentioning Nachor at all? It says Terach Avi Avram v'Nachor. It's even Terach, while he brought up, you might expect him being Terach to bring up a son like Nachor, but he also brought up a son like Avraham. And then Avraham could bring up a Yishmael and a Yitzchak, and Yaakov could bring up an Esav and a Yaakov. We can't always control the future, but we have to be aware of when we come to certain crossroads in our life. When my father was in the army, he was there for 4.5 years. And whether he was just trying to watch the way I grew up, but he sat me down one time and he said that he was very difficult in World War II. He was a regular soldier. And he, after a while in the army, he had to sit down, look himself in the mirror, and say, I'm at a crossroads here. Do I want to blend in with the rest of the soldiers, or am I going to be able to be the frum Jew, even though in the 1940s, when there was a lot of anti-Semitism, obviously worldwide, and he wasn't accepted as a Jew, had a lot of tzaras in the army, but he decided, he said, that he would maintain his Yiddishkeit as best as he could. And the interesting thing was, it was some of these soldiers, they respected him enough that one person actually stood in for him at roll call on Saturday morning so that he could literally go AWOL for a few years and leave the base and go to shul, at least on Shabbos, walk a few miles to Portland, Oregon, and go to a shul in Portland in those days. It was a person who looked somewhat like him, who had red bushy hair like my father, and he answered for him. And they did that for a few years, and they were never caught. He said to me, he was at a crossroads. He had to make a decision. Where would his life go? Would he maintain his Yiddishkeit? And he said he decided he would just do it and let the chips fall where they may, and he never looked back. Some of us come to crossroads. We come to more than we think. We have to make a decision. Do we go one way or the other? It's Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We sit down to the Seder. We have the opportunity. This is Rosh Chodesh, and we decide where is our life going to take us. It's within our power to some degree to make the decision to make the right one. Just realize when we come to a crossroad that the decision can make or break your life for Yiddishkeit. Thank you and have a good Shabbos.